Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
There will be no sale of the turnpike, and the New Jersey public will continue to own it. There will be no lease of the turnpike to a private entity or a foreign entity.
You recognize Governor Corzine there. Coming up in 15 minutes, our first ever call-in for tourists. What do you think of our fair city? Oh, and how are you coping with the Broadway strike? A call-in for tourists, first ever. Are you out there? Get ready to call us in 15 minutes. But first, welcome to New Jersey, the paradox state, a state in which the governor just went to bat for a $450 million bond issue for stem cell research and is now staking his job on the struggle against the state's debt. Debt is not a sexy topic, we know. It's not war or universal health care or jail time for feeding the pigeons. But Governor Corzine says in New Jersey, everything comes back to debt, the silent monster that is devouring the state, and he's staking his legacy on victory over the beast. That, he says, will mean both spending cuts and some other things like toll hikes, and that's where it gets ugly. With me now is Star Ledger political columnist Tom Moran. Hi, Tom. Welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Thanks, Brian. How are you doing?
Good. As I said, debt is not a sexy topic. So explain the gravity of New Jersey's debt crisis.
Well, you know, it actually, you mentioned it's not as sexy as universal health care, but there's a perfect example of something we can't do in New Jersey because we have so much debt. $34 billion, fourth highest in the country, costs about $3 billion a year to service it. So it basically handcuffs Corzine and the legislature from trying to do anything like universal health care.
Do it again. What's the number?
$34 billion.
The state currently owes various bondholders, whatever, $34 billion.
Yes, and that also, Brian, doesn't include, we also are $70 billion in the hole on pension and health liabilities. So it's a mess.
Right. So that's money actually lent and money, or borrowed, I should say, and money that is promised in future payments to state retirees primarily, right? And how does that compare to other states?
Well, it's the fourth highest. I mean, of course, New Jersey is, I think, now the 11th largest state, so maybe that's not so far out of whack, but it's grown tremendously, and if it keeps going at this rate, we'll be leading the nation before too long.
Why is New Jersey in this fix and other states in the region are not as hard hit?
There's no good reason except that we've had bad government, irresponsible decision-making, especially beginning with Whitman, going on even maybe amplified even by McGreevy. They basically pushed as many costs as they could to the next guy and borrowed money even for operating costs and left a mess for the next governor to clean up. And that's been going on for probably about a decade now in New Jersey.
And
the question is whether Corzine's going to stop it and find a solution to it.
Right. Well, Corzine's the next guy. And even he is expressing some regrets in this major speech on debt that he gave last week.
I think we could have done a better job on getting the finances of the state in order sooner. And I wish we had pushed a little harder, a little sooner to get that done.
So, Tom, he's talking about the first few years of his own administration?
I think he's talking more broadly there, Brian, but he didn't specify. That's a good question. I mean, there have been a lot of borrowing that's gone on under him, but it's all been for programs that began before he got there, like school construction is another gigantic one.
It's funny about debt, I guess. You know, it comes back to really the fundamental, I said New Jersey is the paradox state. I mean, we're the paradox nation in a way, because we want more and better services from government, and we always want lower taxes. So if you want the two things, if you want more and better from government without having to raise taxes, the apparently painless way at the moment, at least the politically painless way at any given moment, is debt.
That's right. People are not real realistic about this. Or we're going through a big angst about the highest property taxes in the country right now. But nobody wants to, say, combine school districts or, you know, reduce teacher salaries. They're still handing out, you know, salaries for teachers that go up 5% a year. And we still have over 600 school districts, which means you have, you know, over 600 superintendents who are all highly paid. So, yeah, there's a definite unrealistic thing to this. New Jersey might have it even worse because of the Florio legacy, because the politicians are more scared to raise taxes here than elsewhere.
So, New Jerseyans, call in 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Do you talk about debt? Are you going to talk about this over Thanksgiving dinner with your loved ones? Or maybe not then, but is this something that you think about? Is this something that you decide upon your political preferences based on? Do you choose politicians based on their stance on debt or only on things that are sexier than debt. Were you talking about the Jets last night after they beat the Steelers? Or were you talking about the debts in the Garden State? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692 for political columnist Tom Oran. And have you heard this speech, this major address that Governor Corzine gave last week? And do you think he is on the right track? How's the governor doing if he's making war on debt the centerpiece of his administration and talking about raising tolls along the way? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. Tom, where do tolls come into it?
Well, the main strategy he has, he wants to cut that $34 billion debt in half, basically by allowing private investors to give the state that half money, that $17 billion in return for a promise to let them take our toll revenues off the New Jersey Turnpike and off the Garden State Parkway. So the big question is, how much will tolls go up? And nobody's saying exactly. They're hinting it could be awful. Corzine said it will be substantial. He also said he hasn't given a range yet of the high and low possibilities because, quote, it might undermine the credibility of the program, which is a mild way of saying people will throw tomatoes at him.
Yeah. I thought the debate was on so-called asset monetization of the toll roads, that is, selling them to private companies for the one-time profit of the sale. Is that off the table now?
No, it's the state is going to retain ownership. What they're going to do is sell rights to collect the toll money. They're going to establish a public benefit corporation, which is basically like, you know, the highway authority, establish a new one whose sole purpose is to sell the toll revenue to private investors.
That's a private company?
It would be a public agency, sort of like the New Jersey Turnpike Authority.
Right, I see.
And the state would still own the road. That was a big point of contention early on. And the state will still, you know, supposedly have control over how it's managed.
Yeah, so let me replay this clip that we started with at the top of the governor. And for some reason, maybe he's deciding that it's actually more unpopular to propose selling the toll roads to a private entity than it is to actually raising the tolls. But here's the pledge that he gave in that speech.
There will be no sale of the turnpike, and the New Jersey public will continue to own it. There will be no lease of the turnpike to a private entity or a foreign entity.
So that's new, right? Because he was here just a couple of months ago talking about why he's still considering selling the turnpike, and so is his transportation commissioner.
Well, it was further back than that he made this clear that he's not going to sell it. Who would have thought that New Jerseyans love the turnpike so much when he first raised the idea of selling it, as other states have done, like Indiana? People freaked out. They wanted to own the turnpike and thought that's one thing the government should do.
And the idea there was that for-profit companies could run the toll roads more efficiently. Wouldn't have that meant lower tolls?
No, because the tolls have to rise in order for us to raise this kind of money. In Indiana, you know, they privatized, they raised $4 billion. Corzine here is talking about raising at least $17 billion because aside from the debt reduction, he wants to finance future transportation projects. So it's got to be a whopper of a toll increase, otherwise the numbers won't work.
Tom Moran, political columnist for the Star-Ledger. Tom, I don't know if everybody reads you, but I think everybody in the state is calling us right now. Our lines are full, and we'll start with Gary in Cranford. You're on WNYC. Hi, Gary.
Hi, Brian. Great show.
Thank you.
The idea here in New Jersey is that there's a system involving subcontracting where the money gets sucked up at various levels, so that every time you see a worker on the street holding a stop sign earning $10 an hour, his subcontractor is billing the state or the next subcontractor at $22 an hour. That subcontractor is billing the contractor at $30 an hour or $35 an hour. And it's happening like this. And there's a couple of guys in fiefdoms in New Jersey making incredible amounts of money, and that's not going to break up anytime soon.
Yeah, so Tom, what's New Jersey for Blackwater?
The guy holding the sign and digging the ditches never makes money. I don't know that that's any different in New Jersey than somewhere else.
Is Gary right that contributes to the problem, but you're saying it's not different from New Jersey from anywhere else?
No, what New Jersey does have is really high labor costs compared to most places. Almost all the public employees are unionized and they're paid better than in most states. But I don't think I've never heard that there's any difference between the, you know, going through six hands versus two hands.
By the way, we're just about 5 minutes away from our first ever call-in for tourists. So if you are listening right now, and maybe you're hearing my voice for the first time ever, if you are a tourist to New York and twiddling your thumbs because the Broadway plays are closed, or want to say anything else about visiting New York or New Jersey as a tourist, we're going to take your calls in about 5 minutes, so get ready. But Pat in Springfield, you're on WNYC. Hi, Pat.
Hi. I believe I'm finding myself in the position of championing Mr. Corzine, but what it comes down to is it's an unsexy proposition being championed by an unsexy politician. The guy, I just don't see him having any sort of agenda past being governor, and I can't believe I'm actually believing this, but in order to actually clean this thing up, I think he stopped short on his speech saying we could have done something sooner. I think he stopped short saying, well, as Democrats, we could have done more, but I think he's just picking it up with both hands and trying to clean it up. I really feel mm-hmm. that this is an actual, genuine task that he's trying to undertake right
Tom,
now.
Tom, you're a columnist. You're allowed to state your opinion. Do you agree with Pat?
I do. I think it hinges a lot on whether he also cuts spending so that he can convince people he's not just coming up with another way to do what his predecessors have done, which is raise a lot of money and spend it. But you look at New Jersey charges 4 cents a mile for its tolls. Delaware charges 27 cents. Maryland charges 10 cents. Pennsylvania, 6 cents. And half of the tolls on the turnpike are paid by out-of-staters. So we're sort of giving this big discount to people out of state, and it seems if you do have to raise money, and I think that has to be part of the package, this seems like a smarter way than taxes to me.
So when the Republicans stand up, as they do, and for those of you who are tourists in the audience, the Republicans are minorities in both houses of the New Jersey legislature, so Corzine and the Democrats have control, but the Republicans are barking that what Corzine should do is cut spending more, then he wouldn't have to raise the tolls. Do they say cut spending on what, and are they willing to touch sacred cows?
The only sacred cow they really go after is the Abbott school spending. That's the extra money that New Jersey sends into the poor urban school districts, which, of course, are all represented by Democrats, and Democrats aren't about to stand for that. So I would say, in my opinion, the Republicans haven't made a very serious proposal that could be accepted by Democrats.
Justin in Livingston, you're on WNYC. Hi, Justin.
I have a nice show. Thanks. I have a comment first for Mr. Moran. He's right on target with the school district thing in that, as far as I know, I think, maybe you can correct me, we have approximately 610, 612 school districts in New Jersey. We have 8 million people. California has 33 million people. I think they have 630 school districts. So obviously what he said, no one wants to give up local control to attempt to reduce our debt, you know, our excess waste. The second question I have, maybe you can answer it. I mean,
everybody's against bureaucracy except when it's my bureaucracy. But go ahead.
That's been a problem forever here. But number two is how can Mr. Corzine be so interested in debt reduction when he just proposed this $500 million embryonic stem cell bond? That got turned down. I mean, but that...
Right, it's a good question. That's why I started by saying the paradox state. I guess he'd say it's an investment, Tom, but what else?
He would. He got an academic study to say if you borrow this $450 million for stem cell research, it will lead to a boom in the biotech industry that will more than pay for itself. But I'm skeptical about that, as most New Jerseyans were and voted no on it. But, interestingly, though, for $200 million to buy open space, people voted for it anyway. Because there's such concern about the last scraps of open space we have here being gobbled up by bulldozers, I guess people figure $200 million on top of $34 billion won't kill things.
Annette in Montclair, you're on WNYC. Hi, Annette.
Yes, hello. I understand there are going to be Medicaid cuts for nursing home care, Mr. Moran. Is that true?
I have not heard that. And the budget isn't going to be released for a few months, and that would be sort of un-Corzine-like, but I'll check.
Paul and Mendham, you're on WNYC.
Hi, thanks. As I listened to how New Jersey got in this terrible situation, I kind of smiled and thought of Tolstoy with his happy families are all alike and every unhappy family is unhappy in its own way, which leads to my question. You mentioned that New Jersey got this way in the last since Whitman. I'd be curious where you got those statistics. I mean, clearly it has been the case, but it's always interesting to go back there and find out how did this transpire. So where do those statistics come from? And it's something that we can look up and just kind of track ourselves.
Yeah, and by the way, you did say Tolstoy, didn't you?
I did. That one slipped by me.
The official author of New Jersey right now. But Tom, go ahead.
The state government publishes, you know, several times a year a report on its latest debt level, so it's not real hard to check.
Okay, so on the New Jersey website.
Yeah.
And by the way, I'm in a very affluent town and worked very hard on the school referendum here a few years ago and was just amazed that people squawked about paying an extra maybe $85 to $150 on their property taxes and but are driving these incredible beasts of cars and huge McMansions. So,
you know, I hear that a lot. I'm a property tax squealer myself, so I have some sympathy. But even people who make a lot of money and can afford it are feeling frustrated that their money's being wasted. So you get a lot of complaints from wealthy people, even wealthy liberals, who say, yeah, I'm willing to spend money if it'll help poor people, but not if it's going to go to some giant bureaucracy or wasted school construction money. They really haven't done much to restore people's faith that their money's going to be spent well.
Paul, thanks for your call. We're almost out of time, but a couple of things real quick. Does this influence the New Jersey presidential primaries in any way, or even how the general election for president might play out in the state?
You know, I don't think so. There are a few issues that could, like gay marriage. My guess is New Jersey could be the first state to pass a gay marriage statute legislatively, not being forced to by the court.
Now, there's
a
topic.
But I don't think they're going to do that now because they don't want to raise that issue during the campaign.
Now, there's a topic sexier than debt. And last thing, I mean, this is really, it's very Corzine-like. And what do I mean by that? He came out of the private sector on Wall Street, right, where the financial firms are all going down at this very moment. But he was a CEO. Wasn't he in a kind of similar situation when he was at Goldman Sachs? He had a debt crisis there and had to dig them out in some kind of way?
Well, he took them public. He made them all rich, but they all resented it, and that helped force him out. Interesting, though, Goldman Sachs is one of the only investment banks, you know, as the Time story says today, that did not go down during this recent crisis. They're full of sharp people over there, I guess.
I guess his predecessors, or I should say his successors included. So, all right, well, there it is, folks. Governor Corzine digging in on fighting the debt monster as his legacy, and maybe the heirs of Tolstoy will write about it. Tom Moran, political columnist for the Star-Ledger. Thanks a lot.
Okay, thank you, Brian.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC coming up. Our first ever call-in for tourists, and we will open up the line right now. If you are a tourist visiting New York and you want to talk about the Broadway strike or any impression of our fair town, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. Tourists, we want to hear from you.